Hallelujah. Lord's good. Amen?
Amen.
Let's turn back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Trust that everyone received some of the report, the good news on Sarah's report on her blood tests, and we just rejoice in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
A great miracle, and we just give Him all the glory. Praise God. We want to take time and as we see God move miraculously in our midst, let's give God the praise and the glory that's due His name for that visitation.
Amen.
I hope tonight to put a graph up to show you the different visits and what the accounts were per visit and where they are today, and you can see the hand of God. And let Sarah share some of her own testimony. We've received a number of emails from her and just her boasting in the goodness of the Lord and some of the things that the Lord has been teaching her through the midst of this situation. It's a great learning process, isn't it? And, this chastening of the Lord is grievous, but it works the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Hallelujah. And so in that deliverance and the boast and maybe tonight take some time and give her an opportunity just to share what Father's done in her heart. It's a tremendous work, and we expect the same in all of the others that we're standing in the gap for. God is no respecter of persons. Amen. And so we have nothing to believe but that God will answer every one of these prayer requests exceeding abundant above anything that we could ask or even imagine. Praise God. And so those of you that are still waiting, we want to see the power of God manifest itself. That spirit of worship and praise, as we heard Cade this morning just lifting his voice and thanksgiving to the Lord and all that we do have that we should be thankful for. Amen. And so getting our eyes off the adversities, as we were teaching some on Wednesday, and get them back on the promises of God. And stop feeling sorry for ourselves and start boasting in how good God is. Praise God. And that's where we begin to see some of these great victories. Father wants to manifest Himself in our midst. My heart was touched, broken actually, just... I went home and wept after Wednesday night service as I was able to pray for one of our little ones. And the parent shared with me that in the midst of this trial that this little one is going through, as a parent, you know how heartbreaking it is, but praying, believing God as we lay hands on this little person and trusting God to manifest. And being able to deal with these things as this little person just looks you right dead in the eye and says, "Mom, is God real? Does He really exist? We've prayed and nothing's happened." And as I went home that evening again and tears, broken hearted, just angry at the devil. He's a liar and the father of lies. Amen?
Amen.
That's his job. That's his work. But our work is to fulfill the role that Jesus was ordained to do. And He was anointed of God and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Amen?
Amen.
And as that oppression comes in on this little mind, it's our job, your job, my job to intercede and to go into the heavenlies and wrestle against principalities and powers, these lying spirits, and pull them down in the name of Jesus. And declare the goodness of our God and put them in remembrance. And these testimonies, as we begin to see them manifest themselves, some that we've recognized and have published, others, be sure to make your testimonies known, praise God. Encourage the hearts of your brothers and sisters. But as we can remind some of these little people just now, today, in our generation, this year, this month, praise God, that we've seen miracles already manifesting themselves. Answers to prayer to where these can hope in God and not faint. And in those little minds that we can just encourage them and remind them of the promises of God and how His word is sure and how Satan's a liar and how faith never fails, praise God. As it works in love, a love and understanding of the mercies of God. And so here in Luke again, as we pick this up and the need to take these opportunities and boast in the Lord so that there would be a recurring of praise and worship. We saw in one of the sessions just a little earlier how when we set an environment of praise and thanksgiving, that God is enthroned upon the praises of His people, that He comes and sets ambushments up against the enemy. Amen? Just praise Him, praise God. Praise Him for all of His good deeds. Praise Him for the healings. Praise Him when you don't feel like praising Him, praise God. And He will come into our midst and He will visit us, praise God. The apostle speaking and the admonition comes to us as Jesus speaks, and this is the parable that was speaking to us, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. I won't steal any of Sarah's testimony, but you'll see that as occurs so often, that as it begins to come right down to the end, when decisions are being made as to what direction to go, as we were sharing on Wednesday night, when our minds are being inundated by all of the circumstances, and we hear all of the counsel around us from whichever area it may be coming. And we have so many that are well-meaning. But be very careful that you don't share your opinion or your faith be put off on somebody else. Amen? Whenever people come to me, even in these life and death situations, and they ask me and they'll say, Pastor, should I go to the doctor? Should I take this medication? What should I do? I always say the same thing. It doesn't matter. You do what God tells you to do. Amen? Don't you listen to doctors. Don't be listening to men. You do what God tells you to do. Well, I'm just not hearing from the Lord. Then bless God, shut more stuff down and get in His presence and hear from God. Amen? Because the scripture is very clear. When you seek Him with all of your heart, you find Him. Amen? Amen. God's not hiding from us. He's ready to speak into our hearts. And how often in the last moment we cave in. When if anything, in these last moments, we need to refortify ourselves with the promises of God and the goodness of God and get before Him and listen to what the Holy Spirit would tell you to do. And then don't faint, praise God. having done all, stand, hallelujah, because our faith is the victory. Now, he may tell one to take medicine and the other one not to, but whatever you're doing, you better do it in faith. You better do it at the counsel of God, amen? So I'm not telling you whether to take medicine or not take medicine. I'm telling you to grab hold of the promises of God, get into the presence of God, and do what the Holy Spirit is putting upon your heart. And this is part of what Jesus is trying to communicate to us. And in the midst of this, where he's saying that we ought to always pray. You know, Thessalonians is clear. Pray without ceasing. Amen? An attitude of prayer. Practicing, as Brother Andrew said, practicing the presence of God. A constant awareness of the presence of God. And when it's not there, stop and get it back. Hallelujah. Amen? When that presence isn't there, it's too noisy again. You're too busy again. You're running around about all of these temporal things that mean nothing. It's all going to burn up. We need to grab a hold of that. Your house is going to burn. Your cars are going to burn. Your clothes are going to burn. Your soccer ball is going to burn. Your basketball is going to burn. Time to lay up treasures in heaven, praise God. Put our emphasis on the right stuff, the eternal things. And these other things that are permissible, let them have their place, but they're not a place of dominance, preeminence. I use the word dominance. Nothing is to have power over us, amen? Except the Holy Spirit as He orders our steps. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Do you find yourself, wherever you might be, on the job, in the car? You might be doing something mundane in the area of entertainment. You might be sitting home watching a ball game. Do you find yourself, when they're in the huddle, just breathing a prayer? You're not so wrapped up in what's going on. God's always talking, praise God. We're just always hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be alive and to walk in the Spirit. And if we live in the Spirit, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All this other stuff that takes advantage of us. Pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't cave in. Why? Because he goes down in the parable and made it very clear to us. The moment we quit, the moment we cave in, God is wanting to deliver us speedily, isn't he? It's coming, praise God. When you pray, the answer is released. Before you speak, he hears you. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll see this morning, from the foundations of the world, before you were born, your prayers have already come before God. Amen. You think he's going to get caught late and having to hurry something? Oh, that we would spend time in his presence. As John the Apostle, that we would be known as the person here in this congregation whose head is leaning upon the bosom, the heartbeat of Jesus. There was a special relationship between John and Jesus. I won't get off course on this thing, but you know, we've heard it said numerous times now in different teachings, and We face different life circumstances here, and we want to know, well, how come they're getting off so easy? Why do I have all the trials? Peter's first response, what about John? Don't you worry about John. Amen. I love Peter, man. John had something special going. John heard the heartbeat of Jesus. Everybody was martyred, but what happened to this guy? They tried to kill him. You think Jesus' hand wasn't upon it? You think that your lives are not just as precious and preserved as his? Nobody can touch you without Jesus' permission. They can try to boil you, and you're not boiling if Jesus is for you, praise God. Amen? Oh, they exiled him out on the island, and he wrote the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. Don't faint. Don't faint. He wants to avenge you speedily. The prayer is already on its way. Don't faint, praise God. Just about the moment we quit and go the way of the flesh, can't you see the heads of the angels just drop? They were just about to snatch you out, and our unbelief relieve them of their duty. And they could not enter into the promise because of their unbelief. These 10 times you have said, I brought you out here to destroy you. I told you I was going to avenge you speedily. I told you all things are possible to he that believes. I told you that if you would stand, and having done all, stand, praise God, that you would taste and experience my deliverance. But now I have to let it go according to your faith. I didn't bring you into this trial to kill you. I brought you into this trial to build you up into the image of Jesus. To allow character to be built in you. Things that have eternal purpose. Those of us that are facing these trials, we're not in here by accident. This is the goodness of the Lord working in our lives. It's good, the scripture says, for us to be afflicted. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all speedily, praise God. Now, not fast enough for you, but just in time for the character to get worked, praise God. Amen? Amen. One day early, and you wouldn't be who you are now. Some of us are a lot better folks than we were before that last trial. Amen. Amen. I thank God for what he's done in my life since 2009. Oh, I've got so far to go. But Jesus has done a work in me. And I won't even let myself think about what might be waiting for me. I just rejoice in the good that's been done through the last work of God in my life. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. The scripture's very clear, and we look at these promises. Look over at 1 Peter for just a moment, and just want to look at a couple of promises of God this morning that we can boast in and not faint. The answer's on its way. Don't faint. Make your boast in the promises of God. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The evil heart of unbelief is so offensive to God. What an insult to the heart of our Father when we refuse to trust Him. We know what we feel like in the natural when our children don't trust us. When they can't trust you to come and share the inner recesses of their heart. Some of us as parents, so legalistic that our children have no desire to come under the law. To approach you is to go under the law. They want to approach a dad full of mercy and grace and gentleness and long-suffering. And yes, just. As we, as the righteousness of God, we've got to understand that that righteousness, that place that we have in Jesus, that affords us that bold access that Hebrews speaks of, that we should enter in boldly, enter in immediately, enter in continuously into His presence, that we might obtain help, amen, in the time of need. Your Father's ears are open to your cry. You know how a mother is in tune to that baby? Nobody else may hear that child, but you can hear him. My grandmother told me the story more detailed than I'd ever heard it a few years ago. My mom would talk about little Jimmy and his children. They picked a star out in the sky and felt that was his star and he was in heaven. This little baby that they had in the hospital, and as grandma was leaving, she heard this cry and she turned and said, "That's my baby." And somebody told her, "No, I don't think so." She said, "That's my baby." She turned and headed back down the hallway. And by the time she had gotten there, in one of those old incubators, a fire had broke out and burned the baby to death before anybody could get there. Walking through a hospital corridor, conversations going on, instruments clanking, and she could hear the voice of her baby. And our Father hears us, praise God. He's in tune to your voice. And the scripture tells us clearly of the passage that I just quoted out of Isaiah 65. Before we call, He will answer. While you are yet speaking. Amen? What a promise God has given us. You see, that's how we pray without ceasing. God discerns our hearts. He knows every thought that we have. He knows every intention behind every move. These things are all open to the Lord. And what an ability, if we can train ourselves properly, what an ability to have 24-hour communion with God in our spirit. Why do you think you wake up in the night sometime and you're praying in the Holy Spirit? Your spirit doesn't sleep. That communion with God doesn't turn off. That passage that's so vital for us to grab a hold of in John 15. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. I was just talking to someone the other day and encouraging them. Actually, it was Robbie. They're getting ready to have the pastor's conference. And I was just sharing a couple of things with him as they're wanting to teach on prayer and faith in the pastor's conference. And I was sharing with him some of the same principle we shared Wednesday night. We need to memorize the word. We need to study the word of God. We're commanded to study the word of God. Amen. We know that faith comes by that audience with God, that rhema as we spoke of Wednesday night. But I want to tell you something. It does absolutely no good for God's word to abide in you if you're not abiding in Him. It's a package deal. He's the word. Amen. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. That abiding that we've been emphasizing week after week. Don't faint. Get in the presence of God and don't faint. Don't get up until you've prayed. Pray until you've prayed. Pray until you know God has spoken to you. When you don't feel like praying is when you need to pray the most. Well, these are just words. Nothing's getting to God. That's a lie of the devil. Before you speak. He knows the turmoil of your mind. He knows the brokenness of your heart when you come and lay before Him and can do nothing but groan. There is no higher prayer than groaning before God in absolute desperation and brokenness. It's when we pray some of our greatest prayers. There is no greater faith than coming and declaring your belief when you don't feel anything. When you, like that little child I just spoke of, are wrestling with those same doubts, where is God? I've cried out, my family, my loved ones broken, there's nothing manifesting. Where are you? Don't hide that self stuff from your father. If you're mad at God, tell him. He already knows. Amen. Come and let him instruct your heart and let him put his hand upon you and bring you to himself so that you can be broken and weep upon the heart of God and he'll raise you up. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
He will not leave us comfortless. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Though we deny Him, He can't deny Himself. Hallelujah. Be encouraged in the promises of God for you and for your children this morning. Isaiah 59:1, remember very clearly, the Lord's hand is not shortened. nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear you. Don't you think for a moment that God's not aware of your needs. And don't you think for a moment that he's not able to deliver us. Hallelujah. His ears are open. He cares. He hears. His ears are open to the cry of the righteous. Amen. I don't feel very righteous. My life hasn't been in order. I've been being overcome by life and by the cares. I've not spent the time in prayer that I need to spend. I've not been able to find that quietness. Then make that decision to get before God and start today. But don't think for a moment that you're going to have to build up to a place and it's going to take weeks to get things back right. You are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You have a right to be there. Jesus has paid the price. Your bold access is not by your works or by your ability, by how great a Christian you are. It's by the fact that Jesus already suffered, paid the price, and has transferred to your account his righteousness. And so we have a right to be heard in the heavens. Hallelujah. And here's the good news. When you can't find a word to speak, Jesus is making intercession for you. Hallelujah. If you can't do anything else, just get quiet and get before God and say, Jesus, I got nothing to say. Take over. Praise God. Amen. Pray for me. I want to tell you something. Some of these poor Catholics, Peter, Paul, and Mary ain't praying for us, but Jesus is. Hallelujah. Ever lives to make intercession for us. So why don't we get quiet? And if we want to know what to pray, let's get quiet enough. And I'll tell you, this is possible. I'll show it to you in the scriptures. Let's get quiet enough that we'll begin to hear what he's praying and we can get in agreement with him. Praise God. Have you ever really got in tune with what Jesus was praying for you? You talk about getting encouraged. Now, if whatever we ask in his name, Father will do it, how much more do you think Father will do it when Jesus asks in his own name? Amen. Amen. Name above all names. Every knee will bow. Oh, God's ears are open to your prayers. Many of us are facing that bombardment, that lie of the enemy right now. God's not hearing. You're not good enough. You're not prepared enough. You haven't waited long enough. This victory's already won, praise God. And some of the greatest expressions of faith are those that we stand and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I've got no strength. You can save by many or few. Our eyes are on you. Praise God. We've talked before. If you don't have enough faith to even take a step in the right direction, fall that way. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Just trust in God. We realize that he wants to show us his goodness and lavish us with his mercy and his promises. Psalm 34:15, his eyes are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. Have you ever battled that? I have. I've gotten before God and I've read that verse. that's supposed to be there to encourage our hearts and to stir us on to walking in victory. But I've looked at that verse, I've read it before God and said, well, that leaves me out because I don't feel very righteous. We were talking about faith Wednesday night. The ability to call things that are not as though they were, as though they are. We won't get off on this, but we've taught numerous times on the difference between imputed righteousness and imparted righteousness. Legal, literal. And the fact is that while we are not literally, practically in righteousness, that never eradicates our legal imputed righteousness in Jesus Christ. We are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. We're right with God. Doesn't mean you're doing right now. It doesn't mean you don't have to repent. It just means you're still His kid.
Amen.
Amen? And He still loves you. And His ears are open to your cry. And your first cry ought to be, God, forgive me.
Amen.
Amen? And that's how we stay in fellowship with Him. That's how we know that we're praying properly. We're not praying for our will to be done. We're not dictating God's sovereign purposes. We're now in prayer trying to re-subordinate ourselves to His Lordship. God, forgive me. Do you know what happens when you cry out, God, forgive me? You're forgiven. That's what happens. Amen?
Amen.
That quickly. Instantaneously. I'm back in right standing. My rebellious heart has been brought back into subjection. We have that capacity through free will. Thank God for free will.
Amen?
Amen? That thing that gets us in so much trouble gets us out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We can choose to come back. Choose to make God big. Choose to make Him Lord. Choose to die on that cross. And so He speaks in Psalm 34. His eyes are on the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. The righteous cry, verse 17, and the Lord hears and delivers us from all trouble. Hallelujah. You have not because you ask not. Get with God and start crying out to Him in desperation for these things in your life that need to change. Much of what I'm talking about right here, beloved, are things that we need to be crying out to God. I'm not talking about crying out for an easier life, a new car, a better job. I'm talking about crying out for Christ's likeness. I'm talking about crying out for grace that will enable us to die upon that cross, the crucified self. Hallelujah. Yes, I am the righteousness of God, but I want to be more righteous. I want to prolong my righteousness. I don't ever want to see this thing manifest in my life again. I am sick and tired of all of this self-will and self-promotion and pride and self-indulgences. Father, I don't want to just control cookie, don't you want some, or whatever it is. I want to hate it, praise God. tired of that thing having power in my life, whatever it might be. Our prayer lives, this time of coming into the presence of God, should be being used to fulfill that area of longing, discontentment with unrighteousness in our lives. You know, it's okay to be discontent if we're discontent for the right things. In other words, if we lust after the right stuff, lusting is okay. Isn't that what the scripture teaches? The flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. I'm discontent with how much flesh there is here. I'm lusting for more righteousness. That's what prayer is about. Getting in the presence of God, abiding in Him. The word to abide there means literally to make a once for all decision for a permanent residence. A one-time choice. This is where I will remain. And we make that, we believe in our hearts, and then we find ourselves, oh dear God, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Amen?
Amen.
I thank God through Jesus Christ for what I couldn't do, for what the law couldn't do, and that it was weak to the flesh. God sending in His Spirit, sending Jesus in the likeness of sinful flesh, crucified sin, that we might be made righteous. Same message. I don't have another message yet. I've been spending more time in the presence of God in these last months than I ever have. And every time I get up, I have the same message. Lord, what do you have to say to us? Here's what I have to say to you. Pray and don't faint. Find more time for prayer. You're not praying enough. You're not conscious of me throughout the day enough. If your mind is wandering from the immediate work that you're in, let it wander toward me. And not playtime. And not stuff. And so this admonition comes, and we see that He's telling us to make sure that we're spending time to cry out and to call upon Him. Turn over to Psalm 86 for just a second, and we'll end with this for this morning. This great psalm. I can't even tell you how many times I've been in this psalm over these last 8 or 9 years, whatever it's been. Time flies when you're having fun. But as we see the psalmist's heart, this psalm of true prayer and a heart's cry of desperation, the natural tendency in adversity to question, you know, am I doing something wrong, or is there something in my life that needs to change? That's always a good thing to analyze. Look inwardly. Ask Him what He wants to do in our hearts and what needs to change. And as the psalmist cries out here, he says, Lord, bow down your ear and hear me, for I am poor and needy. That's the spirit that we need to approach God in when we come to petition Him on behalf of whatever it is in our lives at this time. Our eyes are upon You. As long as we're hoping in the arm of the flesh, as long as we think we still have another way of escape, as long as plan X, you know, we've been A through, you know, Y. No, X is in front of Y. Everything in the flesh still holds on to that hope. We don't know it, but we're saving that thing as the ace in the hole. And in case God doesn't come through, I've got this one last ditch effort. That stuff's got to go. Well, if that doesn't work, I know this specialist over here. Oh, I know this nutritionist over here. Oh, I know this holistic method over here. It's amazing to me how some of us don't think that herbs and holistic approaches is as much the world and the flesh as something that somebody made in a tube somewhere. If it's other than God that you're trusting in, it's unbelief. It's not of God. It doesn't bring healing. I have no question that God made certain things in the earth that helps the human body get along. But it's not medicine. And we've got people here in this place that lean that direction. Let me tell you something. It's by the stripes of Jesus that we're healed. Hallelujah. Now, if you want to eat a weed somewhere and you think it's doing you some good, knock yourself out. But don't trust in it. Don't trust in it. Don't have it as something else that you think, you know, if my faith fails, this will bail me out. Amen? If you're going to eat it in faith, praise God. If you're going to take a synthetic source, then take it in faith. But when you come before God, as this psalmist is crying out, hear me, for I am poor and needy. I am desperate. I am destitute. I have nothing left in myself. My eyes are on You, praise God. You see, you don't get desperate if you have the ace in the hole somewhere. And he goes on in this passage and he says, preserve my soul, for I am holy. I don't know about you, but I've always had trouble making that kind of a statement about myself. I've never gone to God and said, Lord, I'm holy. And because of that, I expect something. If I get rewarded based upon my holiness, I'm doing without, man, you know. But if it's Jesus' holiness, if I'm understanding what the Spirit's saying here, if I know that I'm standing there because of what Jesus has afforded me in His righteousness, hoping upon His promises and His finished work, then we can boldly enter in, amen. And he says, because of that holiness, because of what Jesus has done, preserve my soul. Save your servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. How desperate, really. You know, now when we get down to life and death, then some of us get a little more serious. But why let it get there? You know, the scripture says that we're to call unto the Lord and He'll show us great and mighty things that we know not. Pray and don't faint. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. Amen? But we're too casual. I was going to try to get there this morning. We didn't. We're too casual. It's effectual, fervent praying that avails much. We don't like to admit it, but we're as guilty of the world as the world of living off of sound bites today. Many of us are just as guilty. We don't want to have to read the whole paragraph. And whether it's, you know, the soundbite mentality or the microwave mentality or whatever it is, there are not a lot of people today who are disciplined enough to get alone, isolate themselves, get quiet, and then begin to hear what God has to say to us. And then begin to cry out to God with effectual, fervent prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Many of us in our prayer will settle for the slightest evidence of God intervening. Just take a little pressure off. No, we want to be made whole. Amen? We want the enemy to be thoroughly, totally defeated. Now, God doesn't always move in the way that we think He should. I was telling Greer today, you know, I've over the years, I've wrestled with different testimonies of people. I'm sure you have. Isn't it cool to read, you know, of in the scriptures of the halt and the maim? And we read that in the scriptures and we're like, yeah. And then you go to Azusa Street and you read of some of the stories. But, you know, we're talking about people who had amputations whose legs grew back. You want to see that one? I'm ready for that, praise God. We know there's weird stuff that happens in different meetings and people will tell you that in this meeting God came in and oil began to come out of their hands and drip to the ground, you know, and some others we know the stigmatas that people have confessed. I've heard the testimonies. How many of you have heard the testimonies of the people here in America, South America also, of these meetings where everybody in there, their teeth were filled that had cavities? Now, you know, if you go into some of those third world nations and you've seen some of their teeth need to be filled, you know, but God would, fill their teeth. And it's hard for me to move in faith because I'm basically a skeptic. I really am. I'm a skeptic. I naturally trust nobody. Never have. Always waiting for somebody to sneak up on you. As a believer, when you have to, that takes faith. Amen? And so, thank God He's been able to work grace in me and that ability. But I am somewhat of a skeptic. You know, my mind works this way. God filled all their teeth with gold. Why didn't He just give them teeth? But you know, that's questioning God. There was a guy back in the 60s that used to travel around. Josh, this should give you some encouragement. Some of you may have heard of this testimony. I don't know. It was real big back in the 60s. And this guy had totally lost his eye. He had a glass eye. He would take the glass eye out and could see out of that socket. And I'm like, okay. Why didn't God just give him an eye? But you know, nothing's too hard for the Lord. Amen? With God, all things are possible. What am I saying? Let's not limit God, and let's not limit Him by trying to also think that we can influence and dictate how this thing's going to come to pass. We're just believing that God said we would be made whole. That the lame would walk, the blind will see. Amen? However you want to do it, praise God. I mean, if you want to take a guy with a double amputee and not grow his legs back and just let him walk around this high above the ground just like everything going, that's cool with me. But the lame will walk, amen? Let's not limit God with our unbelief. Let's not limit God with how we think things should happen and in what timing they should happen. Here's what we know. He wants to heal, deliver us speedily. Expect it now. Amen. Every time you pray, expect an instantaneous healing. God wants to heal us with speed. And then when He doesn't, don't faint. Amen. And just keep boasting in His word, in His righteousness. Sure that His ears are open to our cry, that that prayer has already been dispatched on our behalf. Hallelujah. The answer. God's good. And so as the psalmist cries out, he said, I cry unto you daily. Now rejoice the soul of your servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all of them that call upon thee. We're going to stop there for this morning, but we spent a good while on unforgiveness. We've talked about how it hinders marital relationships, and there are prayers as we come to agreement where two of us are trying to pray. We're trying to pray for one of our children, but there's still a breach in our relationship. And how that hinders prayer. We see in James that we're to confess our sins to one another and pray one for another that we could be healed. And so as we begin to enter into this area of hindrances to our prayer life, realize that this is one of the greatest. And when you stand praying, forgive. And so we have these great promises, and yet we don't always see them manifested in the way and the timing that we're thinking of. Luther prayed an interesting prayer, and I'll end with this for this morning. He prayed an interesting prayer. His servant was dying, his co-laborer. And he got word of it, and he sent him back a prayer. And it was pretty interesting, and the point that I want to make, it's not all coming back to me right at this moment. But that he cried out to the Lord, he said, Lord, this man is vital to the Reformation. And I resist Satan's attack And Father, I expect my will to be done. I thought that was interesting. And this man, it will never enter my ears a report of this man's death. That was interesting. Tonight we want to go on and talk some about the boldness of our praying. That may not be 100% theologically correct. But I want to tell you something. God honors effectual fervent praying. God honors boldness and men that'll stand up and take His promises as sure. The man died 2 weeks after Luther. His prayer was obviously answered. How desperate are we? How ready are we to go into warfare in the heavenlies? Will we take God by the hem of the garment and as Jacob of old say, I will not turn you loose until you've blessed me? Too many of us, if it doesn't come easily, are not willing to wait. We faint. How many times, just a heartbeat, we quit, just a heartbeat from the manifest promise of God. Father, help us in our unbelief and stir our hearts to become even more fervent in our pursuit of You and in our declaration of who You are, how great You are, how sure Your promises are. Father, many of us are afraid to pray specifically. Give us a boldness to pray more specifically. To pray more boldly. Because of our confidence in Your majesty and Your greatness, in the assurance that every promise of God is yea and amen. To the glory of God by us. Use us to bring You glory. Father, we thank You for it. We'll give You the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, all things are possible, just believe. Praise God. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.